Hi, everyone, and welcome to our podcast today titled Thriving and Tariff Uncertainty. I am Heather Rice, the U.S. tax sector leader for KPMG's consumer retail sector. We are going to be discussing the ever-evolving topic, and I'm really looking forward to the discussion. Joining me are a few of my colleagues and friends who work closely with the consumer goods and retail organizations and specifically are focusing on our tariff-related strategies. We have Arena Vasefield with us, who's a principal in our trade and customs practice. Sudhi Banjari is a partner and leader in our commercial and pricing practice. We have John Casto in our supply chain and procurement practice. And we have Sundar Ramakrishnan, who's a principal in our strategy practice. So before we get into some specific strategies, let's set the stage. Arena, how about you give us an update on the current landscape?
So thanks, Heather, for the introduction. In terms of what we're seeing, without providing too much detail as it's changing weekly and sometimes daily, we are seeing tariff policy announcements from the President Trump administration every 3 to 5 days. And we're seeing a significant amount of additional duties being collected as opposed to last year. So it is a lot for the companies that we work with to keep up with all the tariff changes that are happening. Now, in terms of the tariffs that are in place, we have country and also sectoral tariffs. So see, for the sectoral piece, we have the steel and aluminum, auto and auto parts. We also will be seeing some other sectoral tariffs come into place. And the country-specific tariff rates continue to change. So it's really important to determine which tariffs apply to your products and when. There has also been a case in the Court of International Trade that found that the tariffs imposed by the executive branch under IEEPA have been challenging the legality of it, and that issue has gone to the Court of Appeals, so we're going to see what the outcome of that is. So a lot of changes and a lot to keep track of on the tariff side. And obviously, this has a huge impact on companies. I wanted to go into just how we're seeing this present on the clients that we're working with. So first, we're seeing higher operating costs. Obviously, tariffs on raw materials have raised input costs, squeezing margin and pricing and prompting price hikes. As a result of that, we're seeing reduced profit margins, and the discussions of whether to absorb the tariffs or pass on to customers are continuing. Also, this is pointing out the importance to figure out how profit margins affect your transfer price and customs value. We're seeing a lot of market volatility. So all these sudden policy changes are delaying capital investments and expansion plans. And last point I wanted to bring up is really the legal and compliance complexity. So all these policy changes are leading to an increase in compliance burdens and landed duty cost uncertainty. So it's affecting tax planning. It's affecting, you know, additional disclosures to the government because of increased scrutiny and audits from the customs regimes, and also affecting financial reporting. So there's a lot of things to consider due to all the change and volatility. So it remains important to stay nimble and have a short and long-term plan of how to mitigate and deal with the tariffs.
Yeah, thanks, Arena. That's a great, I think, put us on a level playing field here of kind of what we're saying. Certainly with the pace of change and the uncertainty of that change, you know, at KPMG and Arena, you know this, that we know this is not just a tax issue, right? It's a business issue. And from a business lens, we view the challenges in terms of time, right? We've bucketed them in a short-term, kind of midterm, and a long-term perspective. And with each of these, we've learned you can't really do one without the other, right? Meaning, we can't jump right into supply chain strategies without really understanding the data and the impact of the new tariffs. And so maybe before we dig into the immediate considerations, Arena, Sundar, maybe I'm going to bring you in here. And I think it would help to, again, kind of level set where we are from an industry perspective on consumer and retail, top of mind of, you know, organizations and businesses and how they're broadly thinking about this.
Sure. Thanks, Heather. So when we think about the impact of tariffs in our sector, in the consumer and retail sector, we think it's helpful to think about it as a value chain. So it starts with manufacturers. They could be either consumer packaged goods companies or brands that often do sourcing, whether it be domestically or overseas. In case of tariffs here, the relevant part is the goods that they source overseas, who then sell them to a wholesaler or a retailer, where it then eventually makes its way to an end consumer. And so along the way, the tariffs are driven by overseas sourcing, but the impact of these tariffs are borne by those three players in the value chain, meaning brands, manufacturers, retailers, and the end consumer. And so it's a useful frame to think about the impact of the tariffs to say, how are those impacts distributed? And that varies by subsector, whether you're talking about, food and grocery versus you're talking about hard goods. And it also feeds into the active discussions and dynamics that are happening and between all of those players in the value chain.
Yeah, that's great perspective. Thank you, Sundar. So maybe Arina, maybe I'll bring you back in. Let's talk about some of the kind of the short-term considerations. So what steps are companies taking to assess the immediate impact of the tariffs?
Sure. So first, they're forming a team to deal with this, right? Because it's always cross-functional in nature. It's not just a trade team or the tax team, supply chain. It could be everything in the organization leading up to the CFO and board level. But also, first and foremost, really understanding the impact, right? So the way we look at this is there's a company can either directly import the goods where they're liable as importer of record, and they have access to a lot of data from US Customs. This can also be done in other countries as well. So really figuring out what that impact is a first step, and understanding, hey, my impact from China is this amount, my impact from these countries is this amount. So you really understand where you want to focus in terms of mitigation strategies. And we have developed our own sort of tariff modeler solution. And every time there's a change in anything in the tariff world that's happening, we are updating our modeler so our clients can sort of access the information and 24 to 48 hours. So first figuring out the impact. And also we're using that sort of data, historic data, but a lot of times we're using forecast data, right? As companies are changing where they may be sourcing from. And then we're looking at what mitigation strategies can apply in the short, medium term currently, and I think later we'll talk about the long term. But there's a number of customs programs that are available, obviously, for Canada, Mexico, USMCA, right? Your goods qualify for that. We're looking at customs valuation. What is the value that you're declaring to US Customs? Are there any non-dutiable charges in there? What other, are you sort of optimizing the valuation strategies? Are you claiming programs such as first sale for export that allows you to claim duty on an earlier sale in a multi-tier transaction? We're also helping companies set up bonded warehouses and foreign trade zones, and also duty drawback, which is if you import and export. Well, obviously, we don't have time for all of these, but the point is we have a lot of different savings opportunities that companies can take advantage of. And when we look at this, we look at what the impact is and figure out what sort of the easiest and fastest mitigation strategies are available to implement in the shortest amount of time to the longer amount of time to get at what a real strategy would be like. So first, cross-functional approach internally. Second, figuring out what your impact is. And third, really developing a mitigation strategy that you'll continuously be evolving.
That's great. And I think, I know one thing we've talked about is why haven't people done it before, right? There's a lot of these mitigation strategies out there. And we've talked a lot about, right, compliance headaches and hurdles. Maybe it was immaterial. But one that I know that has been popping up is talking about applying for refunds as part of the customs program. For that one in particular, how are companies determining if they're eligible? Is it easy quantifiable? Is it more like the low-hanging fruit? Love your perspective on that.
Before, some of the savings may not have been material, right? Before now, and the tariffs are so high now that it may make sense to implement one of these programs that didn't make sense before. And some of these programs are a go forward basis. I mentioned first sale, that's We recommend that as a go-forward strategy. Duty drawback, that's something that has a five-year look-back period. There's a lot of sort of administrative items to that. It applies to refunds of certain tariffs, not others. So that's something to keep in mind. And we sort of go through all the requirements to make sure that you meet those rules. And then, of course, there is something I think where you're referring to the reconciliation program, and that allows you to claim a value to customs and then be able to change it within a 21-month window. So as you're figuring out some of what these are applying to, as you're figuring out, hey, do I have the right value? For the steel and aluminum tariffs, as an example, you can carve out the U.S. content or only the derivative portion. So it allows you a little bit of time to work with your suppliers to figure that out. And also in the sort of the piece that is important to figure out, too, is the customs brokers are figuring this out. Customs is figuring all of this out. This is very new to them. So there are errors being made, right, as these goods come in. So one of the mitigation strategies is even looking at your past entries for the past several months to make sure that everything was claimed properly and seek some refunds on those. So there's a number of sort of aspects here in terms of go forward strategy for some of these and then refunds on some of these different strategies.
I'm going to throw you a zinger that we hadn't chatted about, but is there any reason why somebody wouldn't do this, right? There's a lot of mitigation strategies, right? And we hear that. So is there any reason why somebody would not go forward with thinking through these?
I would say typically, no, everyone is thinking through every possible thing. Some of these require, for example, foreign trade zones, they require a system and systems in place specifically to manage that. There's a lot of components, right, to managing that. So there could be some sort of areas where it's taking more headcount and effort, but if you're talking to sort of the leadership level, they want you to undertake that. And then there's a lot of, I mentioned duty drawback, a lot of documentation that you need to support it and reviews. So there could be situations where you can't really collect the information you would need to file some of these claims. However, most of the time we are able to put the systems in place, collect the documentation in order to implement these programs. But it does take effort.
Yeah. And I think one thing we've seen too, if they remain paused or if they get delayed again, you have to do something, right? And I know that you're everybody's favorite friend right now, right? Trade and customs is the forefront. But as we start to kind of navigate kind of our mid and long-term strategies, right? Certainly we have to start with you and understanding the impact. And then it becomes, okay, here's the impact. And we know the impact of the tariffs has to go somewhere, right? And it's one of two ways. It's either price or it's cost. And as companies are starting to evaluate, and am I going to raise the price for my end consumer? Am I going to eat it, which is going to shrink my margins and profitability? Or are we going to go into cost takeout, right? Around headcount, consulting spends, you know, budgets in the company. And so there's a lot of angles here, but those are the two, I would say, of our mindset strategies in the midterm timeframe. So maybe let's talk about pricing. Everybody's favorite, or is the, you know, right? Is the grocery bill going to go up or is it going to stay the same? So Sudhi, maybe I bring you in. Let's talk about a little bit how businesses are taking this tariff impact that Arena was referring to and quantifying the impact on their product level cost and their project and their profit margins to make these informed pricing decisions.
Absolutely, Heather, and thanks for the question. As I think Irina mentioned before, accurately quantifying these impacts is a critical first step. And this involves more than just the tariff percentage, right? Just the magnitude. Businesses in general need to assess the complete picture of the landed cost at an item level, at a SKU level. Now, what this means is you've got to dissect your current costs, layer in the additional direct tariff cost implications, and also consider any other associated increases in customs brokerage fee, insurance, or finance costs. Furthermore, companies should model different scenarios to understand potential margin compression and identify the products or customer segments that are most exposed. Finally, I would say, Heather, that businesses should develop a strategic intent and objective based on the tariff implication and the existing inventory situation. So I'll give a couple examples of objectives. You know, it could be anywhere from, you know, I'm driving prices up because I want to increase the margin or I want to preserve the margin. It could be something about gaining share. This could be a perfect inflection point for companies to think about, hey, can I lock in some exclusivity? Can I go ahead and get that 100% share of wallet and make myself exclusive to this customer? In many instances where you have recurring revenue businesses, could this be a strategy where you move to a more sort of a recurring OPEX model from an existing CAPEX model, for example?
That's great. Cindy, the debate in a lot of the news is, are we going to show the tariff price? I'm just kind of curious if you're hearing anything in the business world, if people are going to show the price before the tariff and then show the additional tariff charge. Anything out there in that environment that we're seeing?
Showing the price.
Yeah, on the pricing strategy. Are they really kind of trying to show, here's the end consumer cost, right? But here's the portion of the tariff costs related to that. Any more talk on that?
Yeah, a little bit. I think I've seen some companies basically resort to the surcharge. Now, surcharges are a pretty tried and tested strategy. We have seen not too long ago the COVID surcharges that many of the consumer retail industry and other sectors basically deployed. And generally, when you showcase a surcharge, there is a magnitude there, at 10%, 5%, 15%, what have you. But it's a proxy. It's never the exact measurement of the specific tariff implication that a certain situation or a context would have. So I've seen that being provided by many, many companies. Many companies, particularly, you know, for example, the value chain comment that was mentioned by Sundar before, when you're selling B2B and you're selling from a manufacturer, let's say to a distributor, and that's a typical B2B sale, you know, you've got sort of opaque sort of invoicing that not other customers are seeing. And many customers and many distributors might actually want more granularity in terms of cost implications around tariffs. And so I'm seeing a lot of that, particularly around the B2B side of the retail business.
So maybe let's flip it. We talked a little bit about pricing increases, but like say a company decides not to eat the cost, right? And I know at the beginning of tariffs, there was a lot of discussion around our business is going to eat it to go get market share. And let's just assume they said, look, we can't hurt our bottom line anymore, right? Our shareholders are, you know, wanting their share price to go up. So beyond just giving a straight price increase on all their impacted products that Arena was kind of mentioning, how should companies think through that response? And is there any theory behind what they want to do, right?
No, there is a framework, there is a rubric in order to extend this thing. And generally in pricing, any cost increase, tariff or otherwise, it's really critical for businesses to look at it from two lenses, right? There's a product lens and then there's a customer lens. Let me talk about the product lens first. For key value items, which are basically items that drive high price perception. So customers are buying those more frequently, and when they are buying them, they're buying bigger volumes and bigger sort of dollar sizes, right? So these are key value items, KVIs, or super key value items, or SKVIs. Now, for those items which have this bigger price perception, it's really important for companies to absorb a larger portion of the tariff cost, or at least be a fast follower to competitors' price moves in order to protect market share and customer loyalty. For items that are not KVIs and that, you know, have perceivably lower price sensitivity, or where they are in segments where the company has a stronger value proposition, a more significant pass-through might be feasible. So what I'm really trying to say on the product size is the answer is de-average. There's not a one-size-fits-all. Break up your products into the different segments of price perception drivers versus the long tail versus the core items and the KVIs, and then do a de-average strategy around which products you need prices on. So that's the product lens. The second lens, which is a really important lens too, is the customer lens. Businesses must revisit how they segment their customers. Normal times, tariff times, segmenting customers is pivotal and very, very foundational to any good pricing strategy. And it's critical to differentiate price increases by the importance of these customers. So as an example, define who a good customer is for you. Very important. Once you've defined it, perhaps you make a decision not to pass on the entire tariff implication to that customer, maybe pass on a portion of it, or maybe none at all. But then the customers that are perceivably not good in your book, are those the right segment of customers where you pass on these tariff cost increases to? So as you look at the interplay of product segmentation and customer segmentation, and they sort of dovetail together, it'll be important to find out the pockets where you can de-average the price increases based on where you find value versus where you don't.
That's fascinating. And I guess, are there any other dimensions out there, Sudhi, that business should consider when evaluating this measured price increase?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Heather, because I think just sort of thinking through price increases and product and customer and the magnitude of the increases is generally not sufficient for this to actually take hold in the marketplace. You know, there's got to be an additional three areas that I'd like to highlight that one should consider in order to make sure that you're very surgical in your product and customer segments. I think the first is, you know, businesses should boost perceived value. This could potentially involve bundling products, enhancing service offerings like, you know, improved warranties or faster delivery, or adding new features to products to help justify the adjusted price points. Now, you have the perfect reason to increase the price, you know, based on the tariff cost increase. But this is also a great inflection point for you to then say, this is also an opportunity for me to think, consider bundling, consider upselling, consider cross-selling. It is an inflection point that has been provided in the ecosystem for you to consider those things. And the customers will be very happy to hear that you're not just simply passing on a cost, right? So that's one. The second is all about communication, right? It's clear and transparent communication, which is very pivotal. Explaining the price adjustments, their response to the external policy shifts, tariffs, which are beyond the company's direct control, that can help them maintain the level of trust. But I think with many customers where you might be decreasing the implication of the tariff or not passing on the tariff implication entirely, even that communication is important. The communication of no tariff cost implication and the communication of a full-fledged tariff cost sort of burdened price, they are both pretty important. On one side, you basically enhance the loyalty. On the other side, you have to basically rationalize the reason as to why you're doing what you're doing. And then finally, I'll mention a third one, Heather, which is always, I think pricing is just this, it's like this contact sport where unless you're experimenting and unless you're sort of doing pilots and testing, it's probably not a great idea to carry out all of these different strategies. So anytime we do a pricing strategy, tariff implication or otherwise, we always say test before you leap. And that's very critical. So instead of implementing something that's a much more broad brush strokes, immediate price increase across all products and markets, companies can actually use a much more cautious, you know, pilot and test and learn approaches. You know, you could potentially think about a very staggered or a regional rollout, which allow these businesses to measure market response in a controlled manner. So I would say the three things are inflection point to boost perceived value, communication, and test and learn and experimentation along with the surgical price increases. I think that will provide a comprehensive rubric on how you would address the pricing implications for tech.
That's great, Sudhi. Maybe one more thing before we go. And I brought this up. Irina and I did a LinkedIn about tariffs a few months ago, and I brought up a blueberry example. So I'm curious from a product mix. We didn't really talk about a product mix. I know this is we haven't talked about this one, but I'm just going to throw it at you. There was a lot of conversations in the food and beverage when tariffs first hit, right? When they said, okay, we get blueberries outside of our country. If we grow them in our country, you're going to get them from June to August. But we're lucky, right, in America right now, we get blueberries all year. So is there any thought about the products mix might change in which we may or may not start, you know, bringing products in, or we might say, hey, we're going to shift our product makeup as a result of these tariffs and make different decisions?
I think The product mix question, a lot really depends on end consumer needs, right? If consumers are needing blueberries around the year, which I'm guessing they are, right? Because they have to still make that pie or that whatever they make with blueberries. It's important for these for these companies to listen to them. But if your decision to whether go for a full year of blueberry production or a partial year of blueberry production, depending on where you come from and which country you come from, then I think you're trying or you're starting to make certain suboptimal decisions based on what could be, you know, not a permanent tariff implication, right? Because we don't know when the tariffs will go back to what they used to be, if at all they'll ever go back. We don't know that. Nobody knows that. So if you're starting to make sort of consumer-driven decisions by changing your product mix, what would happen when the tariff implications change? Would you revert back to the mix that you were originally on because that was meeting the needs of the consumer? So what I would say is that be very cautious as you sort of refine sort of your assortment of products that you basically sell and buy. They should not be motivated by strategies that are perceivably not that permanent. But if these stand to be more permanent, definitely it's a thought-provoking
idea. Yeah, and you just hit on the nail on the head talking about companies needing to be more agile and resilient and the what if, right? Because it's all out there. We know there's uncertainty. Thanks, Cindy. That was great. But helping us focus on the pricing strategy and what we're seeing.
Thank you everyone for listening to the first part of our podcast series titled Thriving Amid Tariff Uncertainty. Please be sure to listen to our second release, which talks more about mid as well as long-term strategies for your organizations.